Hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to another episode of The Wrap.
Just talking about
39.
Yes.
So we said we were inching towards not just 40, but the big 5-0. And so you can expect in about another 11 episodes, a nice little party episode.
Maybe we could make that one like our live episode.
Right? Ooh, yeah, we've been talking live for a long time about doing a live on the spot. A wrap episode. I thought this would be really fun too. Not just a live episode, but really build it up, let people know 50th episode, we're going live, but we'll do kind of a Q&A wrap during that one. So wherever we are, we'll try to stick with where we are in the story, but we'll let people do Q&A on that. We'll try to prep them like a week or two before and kind of let them know, here's where we're gonna be in the story. You know, look over it, get your questions ready. What do you have questions about? It's probably gonna be some like really tough story, you know, like, I don't know. Speaking of today is a really tough, actually, I'm sorry, that would be next week, but this week, a really great story. Sorry, I'm always like a week ahead when we do the wrap because I'm in the midst of planning for a sermon for this upcoming
Sunday.
That you
have just finished.
That I've just finished, and I'm trying to talk about last week's sermon, so I was a little off there, 1 week ahead, but still a great story today.
Yes.
Today we get to talk about the story of Abram, as we're introduced to him first in Genesis 12, who later becomes Abraham. This is very confusing, by the way, for a lot of people because you have to like do Abram slash Abraham, you know, all the time until it, you know.
Yeah.
I just usually would say Abraham because that's what we really know him as and stuff. But if I slip up, I call him Abram. I'm talking about the same guy.
Same guy.
So we are doing like a rare, we're talking about this too before we came on, a rare for us morning wrap.
Now,
when you guys...
same time for you guys.
Yeah, when you guys usually see it, it's always morning, but we hardly ever record in the morning. It's always usually in an afternoon or around lunchtime here at the church when we do it. But we are recording in the morning, so if we should say anything silly... or we just lose track of our thoughts. That's why, because it's morning time.
Take no responsibility.
No responsibility. Our brains are not functioning at peak capacity right now, so please forgive us.
But I'm not sure if that's so much different for me in the afternoon.
Yeah, maybe not. They're like, no, there was really nothing different about this episode. It was still pretty nonsensical. Yeah, well, that's what we try to do. A little bit of nonsense, a little bit of... you were showing me that meme this week of he said what I feel like I look like when I talk about theology and it's all very studious and very, you know, everybody's hanging on every word, what it actually looks like, and it's like some crazy man with like drawings everywhere and stuff. So that's what we try to do, just talk a little bit of Jesus, we talk a little bit of life, we just kind of have some fun. That's what we do. So let's get into the story for today. In Genesis chapter 12 we get what is a pretty strange story, by the way.
Yeah.
Only to be rivaled by next week and at the end of Abraham's life. We'll talk about that. But just like imagine this. You are sitting on your couch one day and out of nowhere you just get a sense and an urge and a prompting that you need to go.
Just go. Get out. Go.
Get out.
And not just outside your house, just like pick up and move.
You got to leave the house, you got to leave your city, you got to leave your family, take you know, you can take your wife with you, take your significant, but gone.
Yeah.
How's that play in your life?
Well, being married, there'd be a lot of questioning.
Right?
A lot of questioning.
Right?
You know, where are we going? Why are we doing this? What do you know? Yeah.
So this is the story of Abram. And here's what's fascinating to me. I don't think people understand. At this point in redemptive history and biblical history, it wasn't commonplace for people to either, first of all, even be worshiping God all that much. This is a man who was in a pagan culture, pagan background, probably highly saturated in idol worship, really not tuned into and a heart tuned to God and the things of God, Yahweh, you know, that the Israelites would later know. And out of nowhere, and I don't know, can't explain this, Bible doesn't talk about this, how in the world did Abraham hear this?
Yeah.
Where did it come from? How did he know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But he gets what we would call today, I believe, a Holy Spirit prompting.
Yeah.
Go. And it's not just go, it's the language, and you said it very well, the language is get out.
Yeah.
In fact, the specific and literal language is get your I'm trying to think how it actually is translated. I think it's get yourself out. It's a very weird kind of like, it doesn't make much sense in our English language, but it does in that language, in the Hebrew language. Get yourself out. I mean, it's very stern.
Remove yourself from where you
This are. Is not the place that you need to be. But here's the kicker of all of it, and it says it in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Go to the land that, what? I will show you.
Yeah, not I have shown you or this land here.
Like I gave you a really detailed 15-step plan.
Yeah.
I gave you a map. I punched it into your phone on your Google Maps. No, I will show you. Just get yourself out.
Yeah.
Just go.
Just take off. You know, and that flies against everything that we tell people, right? Like, hey, you know, when you're taking a trip, you plan where you're gonna go. You plan your trip. And God's just like, just go.
Yeah. No, here's the thing. God is not against planning.
No.
He's not against being organized and thoughtful and prayerful about what we do. But don't you think there are some times in life where you've had this before, right? Because I think we all have. I know I have too, where you just get such a strong feeling.
Yeah.
And I don't use that in like an emotional sense. Right. Like I've got feelings, man. Like, no, like a Holy Spirit inside
you
of me.
No, it's not you talking kind of thing. Yeah.
And you're like, this is wacky, man.
Yeah. This makes no sense.
Which by the way, I've found this in life. The things that often make the least amount of sense are probably God things.
if they're popping like in if my you can, mind, if you can I can't get away
if,
from it.
Yeah. If you can rationalize it, and you can put your finger on it, and you can explain it, it's probably just a you thing.
Yeah.
It's probably just something that you want to do. It's probably something, one of your urges or one of your desires. But if it makes no earthly, logical, human reasoning sense, it's probably a God thing. And yes, how difficult it is for us to follow that.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, you're right. I think some people might look at that and be like, yeah, see, I should just like throw caution to the wind when I do stuff. And like, that's not what God was trying to do here. No. You know, this was more of an
God is
faith.
God is not he's not irresponsible. You
right,
know?
Right. God knew the plan.
Yeah.
And God was like, I need you to trust me in this.
I just need you, Abraham, to be a part of the plan. You know, don't you think so many times in life that's God is offering the same thing to us.
Yeah.
I know the plan. I've worked the plan. I just need you to be a part of the plan. And we say, I don't like that plan.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
well, that's what faith is, you know. It's the evidence of things not seen.
And that's all, you know, it's
if we could see it, there'd be no faith involved.
That's all really the story is about. Really all of Abraham's life is built on faith. That's all the New Testament talks about when it talks about Abraham's life is that, you know, he had faith. And if you really think about it, you know, I kind of made this point on Sunday that Genesis chapters 1 through 11, again, although the Bible is one seamless story and it all goes together, there are obviously kind of some what I would call subunits. You know, like this is one period of time of what God is doing. Genesis 1 through 11 is that. It's like prehistory. It's God's creation of everything, how mankind goes wrong. Genesis 12 begins a whole different section of everything. Yeah. So about Genesis 12 through 25 is the story of Abraham and his direct descendants. The creation of the Israelites, you know, of that nation of Israel itself. So we come to a very different time, but it was really very interesting, especially about Abraham and all of the people come before him, Noah, people like Abel, Enoch. All these people we read about at the beginning of the Bible, there's one strand that ties them all together. Faith.
Right.
Obedience. Trust. Which again, I don't think we fully understand. Like, I've been raised in the church my entire life. And so for me, it's a little easier to be like, I can have faith in things. These were guys who did not know the Lord. Were very young in their relationship in the Lord.
Yeah.
And
they didn't have the Bible to look back on. And
they have nothing. They have nothing to base anything off of. That's true to me, faith, the essence of faith. And they just step out. And again, one of the ways I said it is, I think sometimes when we think of the word faith, we like, you know, think about Abraham, or we think about Noah, or we think about
the giants. Paul, the
we could never be that. These guys were pretty ordinary. I mean, this guy, Abram, by all accounts, although he probably does have a really great life in Ur, he's probably, that's a pretty happen place. I talked about this in Bible study. I didn't talk about the sermon a whole lot, but when God asks Abraham, you need to leave Ur, he's asking him to leave a pretty cushy place. It's a pretty luxuriant place, fertile. It's a big trade route in Ur. And he says, go.
Yeah, and be basically a nomad.
Yeah, just wander. That's
really what
honestly,
he did.
Honestly, that's the rest of Abraham's life. Yeah. You're living in tents. Living what I called on Sunday a tent peg life. And that's tough. But it's amazing. And we look at that, I could never be an Abraham. Well, we're not asking you to be an Abraham, but we are asking you to have faith like Abraham. And all that really involves is not big leaps and heroic bounds of faith, but just one step at a time. And that's what Abraham had to do, is he walked, you know, from Ur, stops in Haran for a little bit, and it's really interesting. God actually, when we come to Genesis chapter 12, he's in Haran. And the indication is that God has already called Abraham once out of Ur. And for whatever reason, he stopped in Haran and said, that's enough. I don't know where I'm going, but I feel like I've at least been halfway obedient to you, which, by the way, I heard a great line this week. If we are ever halfway obedient towards God, you know what that means?
We're disobedient.
We're not obedient at all. There is no halfway obedience. There's full surrender and obedience. And so he calls him out of Haran, sends him to the land of Canaan. But we don't have time, and we're not even doing this on Sunday morning, walking through every last story of Abraham's life.
Yeah.
But just look at it, and you're like, oh my gosh, this guy was a mess. I mean, thing.
You see his humanity shining through.
Yeah, you have an example times. of a time that he, like, you're just like,
well,
oh, buddy.
What's this whole time when he, goes into Egypt, I believe it was, and call Sarah his sister.
Which, by the way, even before that, he's not even supposed to be in Egypt.
No.
He's lacked the faith and trust in God to just stay in Canaan. He's like, I gotta keep going to Egypt. That's where it's at. Yeah, but then he goes there and tries to pass his wife off as a sister, which technically, whole other bonus segment here, but she sort of kind of was a relationship sister. But we won't go there.
Yeah.
That's not bedtime story for kiddos.
No.
Anyways, that's one episode. He's not even supposed to be in Egypt, and he really kind of falters and fumbles all along the way. But guess what? This is, I think, the hope of it, and we're going to kind of tie this in next week and look back on Abraham's life. Isn't that how life is for most of us? We just fumble around, and we get really, tough on ourselves and say, oh, I'm never going to be good enough. I'll never make it. And God's like, look at all these guys and gals.
Yeah.
They all have the same problems. They fumbled. But that's what life is. Life is a series of tests.
Yeah.
And again, next week we talk about Abraham's greatest test, is what I would call final exam. And everything that Abraham has gone through before that, high points and successes and low points and failures, has prepared him for that moment in Genesis 22. And so I think we are encouraged as we look at Abraham's life. I don't think we look at it and say, oh, woe is me, I'm never going to be that. You're right, you're never going to be Abraham. And the point of the Bible is not for you to be an Abraham or a Moses or a David or a Paul. It's to be you and who God has created you to be, but to do so in full faith and surrender and trust in God.
I think for us practically looking at this, this account of Abraham and his call, a lot of times we have something that we know God's called us to do. Mm-hmm. And the world would say, go with what's comfortable.
Yeah.
And that's where you're at. That's where your sweet spot is, right? But obviously, Abram could have stayed where he was. That was probably his comfort zone right there.
Yeah.
Stepping out and doing what God's called you to do is something that's going to make you uncomfortable. And, I liked how you said, if it seems unreasonable, it's probably not your idea. It's probably God's idea.
Yeah, right? and you better go for it.
Yeah, not, like this isn't just, you know, and those types of things where, you know, you God had to nudge Abram from Haran, right?
Yeah.
And so sometimes it takes a little bit of nudging from God to get us to move.
Yeah, I would be even so bold as to say this, and people won't like to hear this. I don't even like to hear it myself when I say it. But if you are at not, if you in your life are not in some way uncomfortable, challenged, stretched, tested, you're not in the right place. You're in comfort land.
Yeah.
And again, that's what's so interesting about the Bible and what frustrates people, honestly, sometimes about the Bible is it's so contrary and flies in the face of our culture.
Yeah.
And our world that we live in. And it's not just our world. It has for all of time flown in the face of the culture in which people, God's people live.
Yeah.
And it's tough and it's contrary, but like I try to constantly tell myself, it's like, is my life just a little too easy right now? Mm. And then I think I've got three kids who are yahoos. I'm like, nope, it's not too easy at all.
And that's a calling, though. Like that parenthood, that's a huge calling.
It is. And I would say, too, like, don't ever, like, try to fool yourself into thinking, well, like, I need to be doing, like, great grand tests. And, like, no. It's just simple, everyday, ordinary tests, you know. Yeah. But, like, you can look at your life and be like, man, there's something in my life right now that is just really, man, I feel like God is... He's testing my patience. He's testing everything in me right now. Good.
This is something that a professor of mine was talking about one time, and he said, you know, when people say, how do I know I'm called to do something? He says, can you see yourself doing anything else? Mm. If you can't see yourself doing anything else but that, or if you can see yourself doing anything else, go for it. Do something else.
Yeah.
If you can't see yourself doing anything other than that thing,
yeah,
that's probably what you're called to do, whether you like it or not. There's that whole, like you said, there's that stretching. God doesn't. There's a quote that Brenda just put up on the walls, right? Like, God does not call the equipped
or the qualified.
He qualifies the called.
Yeah. And this is what I believe, and this is what I said on Sunday. I truly believe this with all my heart. For everybody who'll be watching this rap episode, is I believe that God is, and like, don't like spiritualize this into some like, oh, there's some grand, great, massive call in my life. No, maybe it's just really simple. But I believe that God is calling every one of us, myself included, Levi as well, to something.
Right. And it could just be talking to that coworker who needs Jesus.
You know, I mean, loving your wife, or loving your children, or loving your neighbor or your friend, simple basic things,
church or something.
Yeah. Something. He's calling us to something, and we need to. And here's the thing: I think that probably a high majority of people know exactly what God is calling us to, and we just keep running away. I was having a conversation with someone over lunch earlier this week, and they said that, you know, very point blank. They're like, I've known for over a year what God wants me to do with my life. I keep praying the same prayers.
God, please take this.
And God just keeps, in God's grace, you know, he said God keeps revealing just a little bit more of the puzzle to me. But I just am not acting on it, you know. And so
I think that God is calling all of us to something. We need to know what that is, and we need to just take the first step and be obedient. I'll kind of end with this line that kind of gives us a good seg towards next week. I was reading this and studying for the sermon for this week, and I came across this great line that life really is, most of the time for us, the text. And the latter parts of our life, and think about Abraham's life, you know, he's got the call, and he goes through all of these covenant promises that God gives him, and he comes to Genesis 22, which is what we would probably say is like the peak of his life, and kind of he's coming to the end of his life. All of our life, the first, you know, let's say 40, 50 years of our life is just the text. We're learning. Mm-hmm. We're learning what life is. The next, whatever, 40 to 50 years there, 30, 40 years is the commentary. So whatever lessons we learn in the text, how are we applying those in our last 30 to 40 years to pass the test of faith that God is putting in our life? And I was going to say, I really like that. You know, if you think about, you know, reading the Bible, you read the Bible and you read the stories and you begin to understand and God reveals himself through that. But we have wonderful resources like commentaries that we go to and people give their insights on the text. And you it stretches your thinking and your learning in such ways. I think life is very much like that. We're living right now, especially you and I, we're in that age bracket. I'm very quickly coming up on maybe towards the end of that text. But there,
you're ready to get in your commentary days.
I'm getting my commentary days. But there is something weird about it. People talk about that all the time, about how things just almost seemingly switch like that in life. Is like you just realize one day that like my entire life has changed, my entire thinking has changed, the way I approach everything has changed, and that's why. Right. You've been living in the text, learning, making mistakes, going through stuff,
making adjustments along the way,
so that you can be formed, your character be formed, so that you can live in the commentary days.
Yeah.
And you can apply what you've learned in the text days. So I don't know if that makes sense to anybody out there.
Well, I think that you know, start now is kind of what you're saying. Like, if God's calling you to make an adjustment and to do something differently.
Yeah, not that you can't like adjust when you're 75 years old.
I mean, but that's adjust now and you'll be in a much better place.
Yeah, right? we want to be living a lot of our lives in the commentary side of things. Yeah. All right, where we're applying and we're growing and maturing our faith, that right now when we're kind of in text day is sometimes can be very infantile and childish.
Yeah, and it seems futile sometimes in this phase.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I think that's a great bridge to kind of get us to next time when we talk in Genesis 22. You know, as always, if you want to go there and or actually, what I would encourage is if you want to read Genesis 12 and just read all of Abraham's life up through 25 is about where it stops. But Genesis 22 is where we'll be next week when Abraham is asked to undergo his greatest test of his entire life. And so, again, as always, we hope that is encouraging to you, that lifts up your faith. I think sometimes we look at like a story like Abraham and we're just like, geez, I could never do this stuff. You can. It's possible with faith, with trust, with obedience, with surrender.
Well, even Abraham's wife, Sarah, right? She laughed at what God said.
Laughs.
She's like, no way.
She laughs. And that's why, I mean, that's eventually, you know, they don't have, at this point in this story, they're childless, they're barren.
Yeah.
They get the child of promise, Isaac, and his name literally means laugh.
Laughter, yeah.
Yeah, laughter. So, because the whole situation seems utterly ridiculous and laughable.
You know, and there's been things, I know we're getting ready to end it, but there's been things that, you know, I've felt God moving me to do, and they are, at first glance, they're like, you want me
you
to
gotta
do
be kidding
what?
Me.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, again, we always thank you for tuning in. I told Levi I was just tuned in on Saturday morning. This happened to. I don't always tune in for the rap episode because I'm in it and I kind of know what it was. But I saw
spoiler.
That there was a saw that there was a pretty good amount of people on the rap. So continue to spread the word, my friends, and get people tuned into the rap. The easiest way you can do that is if you tune into the rap regularly and you're here watching this. Go hit that share button.
Yeah.
Hit that share button so that you can bring some other people into the conversation as well. And so we thank you for being with us today.
Yeah.
Until we see you next time, God bless.
See you guys.